All right, Jabu, say good morning. Let's begin. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Kuf Tes Zayin, 116. We are picking up Kuf Tes Vav on the days 115b. And I believe we left off with Amar Mar, three lines up from the bottom. Incredible, incredible, really beautiful gemara. I actually meant to message out. We even have some agarata today. Mamish, a good day. So says the gemara, Amar Mar, Hakol Ksherin Lahakrit. So remember again, we saw before that before the Mishkan was built, all animals were permitted for sacrificial offering. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? Amar Rav Huna d'Amar Kra, Vayiven Noach Mizbeach LaHashem, Vayikach Mikala Behema Atahora, Mikala Of Atar, because the Pasuk says that Noach built an altar for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what did he do? He took from all of the tar animals and all the tar birds, Behema kimashmo. So we'll say behema, means animals. So chaya bichlal behema. We'll say so chaya is included in behema as well. Remember, chaya refers to non-domesticated animals. Top of kuf tes zayin. Zecharim unekevos tamimin uba'ali mumin. And it comes to include male animals, female animals, complete animals, and others, unblemished animals. Blemished animals, everything is offered up. The Amar Mar Tamos of Zichros Bebehema, Vein Tamos of Zichros Baofos, Veiskish Behema Baof. And furthermore, again, we know that when it comes to animal offerings, there's a concept of Tamos of Zichros, which means the animal must be unblemished and must be male. In birds, no such obligation exists. And amazingly enough, over here in this context, we learn out the halachos of the animals of the Behemos. Ultimately, again, from the Ophos, learning out over here that all animals were permitted for sacrificial service before the building of the Mishkan. Timimin uba'ali mumin. So we'll say when it says that you do have to offer up timimin and ba'ali mumin, lafuke emsuzi. When it says that you can offer up either timimin or ba'ali mumin, what does that come to exclude? Lafuke mukhusar aver dolo. We'll say that comes to exclude ultimately an animal that's missing a limb. In other words, even though before the time of the Mishkan, one was permitted to go ahead and offer up even ba'ali mumin, even a blemished animal, halacha lemaisa, you are not permitted to offer up a mechusar aver. You are not permitted to offer up an animal which was missing a limb. So the Gemara says, Amar Belazer, minayla mechusar aver shasal bnei Noach. So from where do you know Belazer says that a mechusar aver, that an animal missing a limb, is usar even to a ben Noach? From where do you know that? Hamud lomar, umikol achai, mikol basar, because the pasuk says, Ayanabo said, this is by the Teva. This is by the Mabul. This is when Noach is collecting the animals onto the ark. So the Pasuk says, Mikol Achai, Mikol Basar, from every living thing, from every Basar, from every flesh. So Amra Torah, Haba Behema, Shechayin Roshe Ivarin Shalom. Torah tells Noach, bring animals whose literally Chayin Roshe Ivarin Shalom means whose limbs are intact. Literally means the edges of the limbs are intact. So bring an animal whose limbs are intact. Do not bring an animal that's a mechusar aver. So we'll say, so again, so this is actually quite interesting. So the emergence pointing out over here is that halacha lemaaseh, even though we've established that pre-Mishkan, even a bal mum, even an animal which was a bal mum, was permitted for sacrificial service, not an animal that's mechusar aver. If an animal is missing a limb, even for a ben Noach, that was aser. Where do we learn that from? From Noach himself. That's when collecting the animals for the teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, "Umikol hachai mikol basar," which kol hachai the Gemara is darshining, an animal who all of its limbs are intact. V'dimolam yute treifa, maybe it's just coming to exclude a treifa. In other words, maybe it has nothing to do with a varim, but it has to do with a treifa. Can't bring a treifa onto the teva. Hahu me laachios zera nafka. We'll say that's learned out from the phrase lachios zera. The pasuk says, when talking about actually the kosher species, that you take seven pairs of each, lachios zera. Now, we'll say lachios zera means to perpetuate the species, i.e., to be able to have children. Now, Chazal had a mesora that trefa ain't a molid. Ultimately, an animal that's a trefa, they cannot give birth. So therefore, again, by definition, if you have to bring animals onto the table which are capable of giving birth, by definition, that excludes a trefa. So the Gemara says, "Hani chalaman damer trefa in yoledes." That makes sense. According to Pinu, says the trefa can't give birth. Alaman damer trefa yoledes. Michael Amimar. But what's according to Pinu says the trefa can give birth. Sunu, what is there to say? Ha amakra. So we'll say if that's the case, then what do you learn after? Amakra itcha. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach to go ahead and bring to the teva lachios itach zachar nekeva. Bring the animals to live with you. What does it mean? Itach bidomin lacha. Those who are like you. Noach, just like you are whole, quote unquote, so to the animals which you bring onto the teva should be whole as well. We had this gemara before, if you remember. Vidilma Noach gufei treifa hava. Maybe Noach himself was a treifa. Maybe Noach was a treifa, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, just like Noach, you're a treifa, you can bring in animals which are treifas as well. To which, we'll say again, remember, I'm sorry, I should have found this. Remember, treifa refers to an animal which has some type of condition which is going to cause its imminent death. Imminent death is defined in Halacha as death within 12 months. So maybe Noach is a treifa as well. And therefore, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, just like you're a treifa, you can bring in animals which are treifas as well. To which the Gemara says, Tamim Ksiv Bey. Nope. The Gemara says, Torah says that Noach was a tamim, right? Noach was complete, which means he wasn't a treifa. I v'dilma tam bedrachav. We'll say maybe tamim is not a statement about his physical health, but tamim is a statement about his spiritual well-being, that he's a tamim in his ways. In other words, he's a tzaddik. To which the Gemara says, no, tzaddik sivbe. No, because Torah tells him, calls him a tzaddik. He calls him a tzaddik, so tamim does not refer to his spiritual qualities, but rather it refers to his physical wholeness. To which the Gemara says, v'dilma tamim bedrachav, tzaddik b'masav. Ultimately, again, maybe he's a tamim in his drachim and a tzaddik in his actions. In other words, maybe it refers to two different types of spiritual qualities. He's a tamim in his derech, in other words, in his approaches, in his hashkafas to life. But he's a tzaddik in his actions, to which the Gemara says, Yisakat aitcha denoach gufei. Dreifa hava. So here's what the Gemara says. If you would think at the end of the day that, Rashi points out, by the way, tamim bidrachav, Anav v'savlon. So maybe tamim ultimately means with his midos, he's humble, he's patient, and ultimately again tzaddik b'ma'asav, but he doesn't just have good traits, he engages in good actions. To which the Gemara says no. I mean, yes, that could have been Noach, but Isak adaitcha, the Noach treifa hava, if you want to think that Noach was a treifa, mik amar le Noach de kavasach ayil, shlemim lo sa'ayil. So you'll say, here's the issue. The pasuk does say, lachios itach. And the Gemara darshins from that itach, that the animals you bring on the teva should be like you. So what is Chodesh Baruch going to say? If Noach is a treifa, just like you're a treifa, you should bring on treifa animals, don't bring on complete animals. That doesn't make sense. So therefore, I will say, now that we see that from the word itach, we learn out that just like Noach, you were a shalim. So to bring on animals which were shlemim and not treifas, lachios zera lamalui. So then why do I need the phrase lachios zera? To which the Gemara says, ma'od teima, itach litzav sab ba'alma, afilu zakein afilu sris. Because they both say, if it was just itach, I would have thought maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach to bring the animals onto the teva for companionship. And therefore, again, it doesn't matter if they have the ability to procreate, even if the animal is old, or even if the animal doesn't have the physical ability to procreate. Maybe Noach should still bring on the teva. Kamash malon lachios zera. Therefore, the pasuk says that no, halacha lemaisa Noach, the animals are not there for your company, but rather the animals are there to perpetuate the species, and therefore only bring on animals which have the ability to procreate. Good. But for our purposes, so that was a beautiful, beautiful story. But for our purposes, what do we get from that? What we get from that is that halacha lemaisa, even a ben Noach who was permitted to go ahead, even in the pre-Mishkan times where you were permitted to go ahead and offer up an animal, which was a baal mum, you were not permitted to offer up what? A mechusar aver. If an animal was missing a limb, ultimately, again, it was unfit for sacrificial service. Where do we learn that out from? We learn it out ultimately from Noach. Tahorin aval lo temein. So I will say again, you are permitted to offer up in the pre-Mishkan times. You could offer up from any species of tahor animals, but not from a tamei animal. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, lumi havu temein utarn ba'i shaita. I will say, if this is pre-Mishkan, so if it's pre-Mishkan, again, you're talking about all the days before the Mishkan, there's no Torah. If there's no Torah, so what are you talking about? Behema Temeya, Behema Tahora. What are you talking about? To which the Gemara says, Amrab Shulam Bar Nachmani, Amrab Yonasan. So again, I will say, the Misuras HaShas changes this. Me'osan Ha'asidin Litaher. It refers ultimately again to those animals which would become tahor. So we'll say, remember again, we had a mesora already from the times of Noach, as we're going to discuss, which animals ultimately again would be considered to be kosher animals and which ones would not. Where does that mesora come from? Here we go. Minahava yadi. From where did people have a mesora? Which animals would ultimately become kosher and which one? I will say, Kuftas Zayin Amadala, right across from Tosas Dilma. To which the Gemara says, Kidrav Chista. As Rav Chista said, Dam Rav Chista, Habiran lifnei hateva. So we'll say Noach brought the animals before the teva. Kol shateva kol tasan biyadua shutar. En hateva kol tasan medoshen tmein. Whichever animals the teva accepted, Noach knew ultimately again would be future kosher animals. And whichever animals the teva did not accept, Noach knew ultimately again they would be non-kosher animals. So we'll say here's the problem. The problem with that approach is we know that there are non-kosher all species were included on the teva. So therefore, it comes over to Rabbi Abba, he says, no. Rabbi Abba, Omer Kra, Va'abboim zachu unikeva, ha'boin me'elehem. So what Rabbi Abba says like this, the Pasuk says by the teva, they came to the teva, male and female, which we understand to mean what? They came on their own. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi points out over here, ha'boin me'elehem, Rashi says, V'chol osam shebo el ha'teva me'elehem bo, ubahen hikir osam shebo shiva shiva yada shein tohorin, v'shebo shnayim shnayim shein tmein. So we'll say the animals came on their own to the teva. Those which came ultimately again in pairs of seven, right? Seven pairs. So Noach knew those were going to be the future kosher animals. Those that only came in pairs of two. So Noach recognized that what? Those are going to be the non-kosher species. Sorry, from the time of Noach, they had their Mesorah as to which animals were going to be the kosher future, were going to be the kosher species, and which ones were going to be the Tameh species. Amar Mar, Va'kol Karvu, Va'kol Kirvu Olos. Remember, Rabbi said the next statement was that before the Mishkan, any karbonos which were offered up on Bamos, obviously, were offered up as Olos. Only Olos were offered. Olo sin shlamim lo. So you're telling me again that Olo, only Olos they offered, but they did not offer up any kind of shlamim. V'haksiv, Rabbi Osei, the Pasuk says, v'yizbichu zvachim shlamim la'ashem parim. Rabbi Osei, so the Pasuk says, now this Rabbi Osei is by Matan Torah. This is by Har Sinai. Speaking about, we spoke about this sugya yesterday in trying to figure out ultimately again who are the Na'arim. Who did the Avoda at Har Sinai? Was it the Bechorim? Was it Nadav and Aviu? So leaving that aside, so the Torah tells us here that before Matan Torah, which I will say, so obviously, before Matan Torah means before the Torah was given. So which means we're in Ben Noach status, Ben Noach stage. But yeah, what do you see? They're offering up Zvachim and Shlamim. So you see, they are offering up Shlamim, not just Olos, to which the Gemara says, Ela Ema, rather, we'll say the Shita Mikubetzes changes this year, Ela Ema, L'chol Kervu Olos, L'bnei Noach Olos in Shlamim. So ultimately, I will say, the way you have to read it is as follows, that everybody offered up Olos, B'nei Noach were only able to offer up Olos, but ultimately, again, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, they offered up Shlamim as well. So the Gemara says, Olos in Shlamim lo. We'll say first of the intermediate wide lines. Kiman do'amar lo kirvu Shlamim b'nei Noach. Ultimately, we'll say this would have to go ahead and reflect the opinion. So the Gemara is going to point out, as we're going to see in just a moment, there's going to be a machlokes. But at least according to this opinion, b'nei Noach were only offering up Olos. We're not offering up Shlamim. The Itmar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, Baruch Hanina, Chad Amar Karvu Shlamim b'nei Noach. The Chad Amar lo kirvu. So we'll say machlokes. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi. One opinion said, Rabbi Elazar said that b'nei Noach ultimately again offered up Shlamim as well as Olos, and Rabbi Yosi Baruch Hanina said no, b'nei Noach offered up Shlamim as, excuse me, sorry, just the opposite. Rabbi Elazar says that b'nei Noach offered up both Olos and Shlamim, whereas Rabbi Yosi Baruch Hanina said they offered up Olos but not Shlamim. My time in the Mandamar Kibu Shlamim. So B'nai Noach. We'll say, what's the reason for the opinion that says that B'nai Noach offered up Shlamim as well? Dichsiv v'hevel hevi, excuse me, gamhu mi b'choros sono u'mechel behem. Because we'll say, the Pasuk says, by hevel, that hevel bought ultimately again from his sheep, mi b'choros sono from the oldest of his sheep, u'mechel behem, and from their fats. So we'll say, ask the Gemara. So we'll say, what it sounds like over here is that the carbon that Hevel offered up, its fats were offered up on the Mizbeach. What is the type of carbon where the fats are offered up on the Mizbeach, but the rest of the animal, the rest of the meat is not? Havi Omer, ze shlamim. Shlamim. We'll say, it says shlamim again. Shlamim, you eat the meat. You eat the meat. So it's only the fats that are offered up on the Mizbeach. It says that Hevel offered up from the oldest of his sheep, from their fats. It turns out, therefore, that Hevel offered up Shlamim. My time in the Mandamar lo kirvu. So also, what's the reason of the opinion who says that no, B'nai Noach did not offer up Shlamim? Dechsiv, because we'll say the Gemara quotes over here from the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Uri Tzafon, Ubo Teiman, Tisna'er Uma. So the Gemara says, "What? How do we dash in that pasuk? Urit Safon Ubayi Teiman. Tisna'er Uma Shema'aseh B'Tzafon. V'Tava Uma Shema'aseh B'Tzafon U'Bedarim." Literally, again, I'll say, if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, "Tisna'er Lashon Vayinar, overturn the nation whose actions are in the north." So we'll say, remember again, the north, the Gemara understands, is a reference to the Ola, which is done in the north of the Mizbeach. V'Tavo, and literally again, let the Melech HaMashiach come together with Klal Yisrael and go ahead and at the head of the nation, Shema'aseh B'Tzafon V'Darom, whose actions or whose deeds are in the north or in the south. We'll say, what does that refer to? So remember again, the north ultimately refers to the Olos. The south refers to the Shlamim. So here the Gemara Darshans, you see over here that Bnei Noach ultimately again are the nations of Urit Safon. They are the nations of the north, the nations who offer up the Karbanos of the north, which are Olos, Klal Yisrael, the nations of the north and the south, Olos and Shlamim. To which the Gemara says, "Ah, Yumar Nami Haksiv Mechel Behen." So we'll say, but 1 second, what does the second opinion do with the pasuk? What is the opinion who says that Bnei Noach didn't offer up Shlamim? What does he do with the pasuk by Hevel? By Hevel, it says that Hevel offered up the fat of the carbon, and therefore that sounds like a Shlamim. To which the Gemara says, "Mishmane and the dough." The way he understands it is that no, it doesn't literally mean that Hevel offered up the fat of the carbon. Rather, what does it mean? Hevel offered up the fattest animal. In other words, he offered up the best of the flock. So Mechel Behen means from the fattest animal of the flock, not of the fat of the animal. Umar nami haksiv urit safon. And what does Moshe, does the other pasuk, what does the man who says that Bnei Noach can offer up olos, what does he do with the pasuk in Shir Hashim of Urit Safon? Hahu b'kibbutz galus d'chsiv. That pasuk is not talking about ultimately the nations of the world. That pasuk is actually talking about Klal Yisrael. And it's talking about, again, the fact that we are dispersed in every single direction. And when the Melech HaMashiach comes, he's going to gather us in. I have a hok siv, vayomer Moshe, gam ato titin biadenu zvachim va'olos, va'asinu la'ashem alokinu zvachim, va'asinu la'ashem alokinu. I will say, what do we do with the pasuk that says as follows? That remember, this is by Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Paro. So Moshe tells Paro, you're going to release us. Not only are you going to release us, but what? You are going to give us zvachim va'olos va'asinu la'ashem alokinu. Right? So we'll say, so b'pashtos, olos is olos, right? Olos in ola. Zvachim, we're assuming, means what? Shlamim. Paro obviously is a Ben Noach. So what do you see? That Bnei Noach are in fact offering up Zvachim and Shlamim. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Zvachim la'achila va'olos la'akrava. In this context, what Moshe Rabbeinu meant was, you're going to give us Zvachim for consumption purposes. That are first animals we're going to eat. And olos are for karbanos. So in other words, we thought that Zvachim refers to Shlamim, but it does not. I v'hoksiv v'yikach Yisrael chosin Moshe ola u'zvachim. I will say, but 1 second, it says that Yisrael went ahead and took Ola and Zvachim. So again, I will say, Olas and Ola, Zvachim, we assume means Shlamim. So you see from here that Bnei Noach are offering up Shlamim, to which the Gemara says, no, don't worry about that. Hahu la'achar Matan Torah hu dichsev. I will say, Nadekasha, that episode took place after Matan Torah. So remember again, after Matan Torah, even Bnei Noach have the ability to offer up Shlamim. So we'll say, now we have an interesting machlokas. Hani chalamandam or Yisro achar matan torahi. So we'll say, that's fine according to the opinion that says that Yisro came after matan torah. After Sinaitic revelation, Elamandamar Yisro kodim matan torah haya. Making us also remember again, we're going to get now into this machlokas. Obviously, as the way the pasuk reads, right? Just if when you read the order of the parshios, so again, it would appear that Yisro comes before Matan Torah, but ultimately, again, as we're going to see, there's a major machlokes. So the Gemara says, "Hadi chalman damer Yisro acher Matan Torah haya." So if you understand that Yisro is offering up shlamim, and you want to say it's after Matan Torah, that's fine if that's how you understand the chronological sequence of events. El man damer Yisro kod Matan Torah haya ma'ika le'meimer. But also, according to the opinion that says that Yisro came before Matan Torah, so how do you explain his offering up of shlamim? To which the Gemara says, here's the machlokas. Ditmar, Bnei, Rabbi, so now we're going on a major detour over here, away from Shlamim, into the chronology of the Yisro story. Bnei Rabbi Chiyav, Rabbi Shob, and Levi, Chad Amar Yisro kol dematan Torah haya, V'chad Amar Yisro achar matan Torah haya. So we'll say machlokas between Bnei Rabbi Chiyav and Rabbi Shob and Levi. Did Yisro come before matan Torah? Did he come after matan Torah? So the Gemara says, And according to the opinion who says that Yisrael came before Matan Torah, and yet we know that Yisrael offered up Shlamim, that would have to be reflective of the opinion that said that Bnei Noach offered up Shlamim even before Matan Torah. Fine. Kitanois. Well, so now the Gemara says, the chronology of Yisrael is in Machlokes Tanaim. Here we go. Vayishma Yisrael Kohen Midyan. So we'll say the pasuk says that Yisrael, the Kohen Midyan, heard. Right? He heard. Now the rest of the pasuk is, he heard, Aizkol Asher Asa Elokim Lamosha the Yisrael Amo, Ki Otsi Eshem Es Yisrael Mitzrayim. He heard what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael. So the Shaila is going to be what? Mashmu Ashama Ubav Niskayer. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, what did Yisrael hear that made him leave Midyan, join Klal Yisrael and convert? Rav Yeshua Omer, Milchames Amalek Shama. Rav Yeshua says he heard about the war with Amalek. He heard about this incredible military victory of a former slave nation just by a couple of days, who vanquished a formidable foe. He heard about this, and ultimately again he comes and he joins the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Sharikasa Betzido, Vayachalo Yeshua Es Amolu Fichar. Because they both say the episode which occurs right before, right at the end of Parashas Beshalach, right before Parashas Yisro, is the war with Amalek. He hears about the victory with Amalek, therefore chooses to leave Midyan, join Klal Yisrael, and convert. Rabbi Elazar Modi, Omer Matan Torah, Shama Uba. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Elazar Modi says, no, he heard about Matan Torah. He heard about Sinaitic revelation. That's why he came. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Shekishenitna Torah Yisrael, first of the widest lines. Shekishenitna Torah Yisrael, Hayakola Holech Misofa Olam Va'ad Sofo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, Bosai, so ultimately, again, the Ribono Shel Olam's voice, or I should say, the noise of the event, could be heard from one end of the world to the other. And all of the Gentile idolatrous kings, fear seized them in their palaces. They were shaken by fear in their palaces. Va'amru shira. And even they began to sing shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is actually amazing, because what it's saying is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, Matan Torah was felt. It was felt, it was experienced in some way throughout the entire world, to the point that even the idolatrous Gentile kings felt Matan Torah. Fear gripped them, and they sang Shira in their palaces. Va'amru Shira Shenemar, Ubehechalo, Kulo Omer Kavod. That ultimately, again, in the palace, Kulo Omer Kavod, they all gave Kavod. Niskabtu Kulo Meitza Bilamar Rasha. Let's listen to this, is wild. They all came running to Bilamar Rasha. Va'amru lo, Ma kol ha'amon asher shamanu? Shema Mabul Bali Olam. So also listen to this. So they were scared. They had no idea what was happening. They come, they run to Bilam and say, Bilam, what's happening over here? Maybe there's another Mabul coming to the world. That's the rash. That's the noise. So Amr Lahem Bilam said to them, Hashem la Mabul Yashav. So ultimately, again, Vayeshev Hashem Melech Li Olam. Kevar Nishpa Kodesh Baruch Hu She'enu Mabul Olam. She'enu Mavi Mabul Olam. To which Bilam says, relax. Don't worry. Hashem la Mabul Yashav. Vayeshev Hashem Melech Li Olam. Kodesh Baruch already promised he's not bringing us. He's not bringing another Mabul to the world. Don't worry, he's not going to bring another Mabul. Amr lo, Mabul shall ma'im eno mevi, ava Mabul shall esh mevi. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised not to bring a Mabul of water, but maybe he could bring a Mabul of fire. Shenemar, kinei ba'esh Hashem nishbat. Amr lohem, kvar nishbat shenu mashchis kol basar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already promised that he's not going to wipe out humanity anymore. Not with a Mabul of water, not with a Mabul of fire. He's not going to wipe out humanity. Umakol amon hazeh she'shamanu. So they asked Bilam, okay, if God's not destroying the world, so what is this noise? Amr Lohem, Bilam responds, Chem do tovi yeshlo beis ginozov, shahaisa gnuza etzlo, tof tof kuf ayin dalid doros, kodim shenivra olam. Kodesh Baruch Hu has had a beautiful treasure that has been sitting in his storehouse for 974 generations before he created the world. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu has had a treasure that existed from before time. Ubikesh litna labanav, and now he wants to give it to his children. Torah, Shene Emar, Hashem owes the Amo Yitinek. The Shparuch wants to give strength to his people. Miyad Paschu Kulam Va'amru, at that moment the nations of the world said in unison, Hashem Yivarech Es Amo Vashalom. Kodesh Baruch Hu should bless his people ultimately. Shalom is an incredible and beautiful Gemara. So therefore, again, according to this opinion, Yisro hears about Matan. Matan Torah, and that's what propels him to join Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kriyas Yamsuf Shamaba. Hear about Kriyas Yamsuf. Hear about splitting of the sea. Shenem Rai Vayikishma Komache Amori. Va'af Rachav Hazona Amr. So listen to this. Vayikishma Komache Amori. All of the Amorite kings heard about the splitting of the sea. Va'af Rachav Hazona Amra L'Shulcha Yoshua. Even Rachav, the Zon Rabosai, said this to the emissaries of Yoshua. Remember again, the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. So Yoshua sends spies again into Eretz Canaan. They end up staying by the home of a woman by the name of Rachav. And Rachav tells them that already from the time that Klal Yisrael went ahead and crossed the sea, already then, fear had overtaken the Amorite kings. Kishamanu es asher hovish Hashem es miyamsuf. Ultimately, again, Rachav says, we already heard what God did to the sea. And once we heard what God did to the sea, we were shaking with fear. So the Gemara says, Maishna hasam da amarle, for lo haya bahem od ruach. So we'll say, why is it? It's actually quite interesting. Why is it that in Yoshua, right, when the Navi's talking like in objective sense, it says that there was no more vaylohaya od vaylohaya bam od ruach. There was no more ruach, no more spirit in the people to fight against Klal Yisrael. In other words, we'll say this: when the Malchi Amori heard about Yamsuf, they lost their ruach, they lost their spirit to fight. But when Rachav tells the story, she says, that literally, again, no ruach stood up in men. So in other words, what the Gemara is just contrasting is the Lashon. When it talks about the Malchi Amori, the Navi talks about them, it says, there was no ruach in them. When Rachav talks about it, no ruach stood up within them. Why the distinction? Amud Beis, we'll say, remember there's a machlokes ha-mafarshim when the Navi calls Rachav a zona. So what does zona mean? So the commentaries on Nach give two different interpretations. One was that she was an innkeeper from Lashon of Mizonos. The other one is that no, she was a zona, she was a harlot. So what does it mean according? So this Gemara is clearly going with the idea that she was a zona. So velokama odrakush means that she saw a decline in business. That ultimately, again, from the time that Klal Yisrael went through the sea, there was a decline in business. Men were so scared of the approaching Klal Yisrael that ultimately what? That they were uninterested in her services. Dafilu akshuye nami lo akshu. Rashi says, akshuye akshu la'ever latashmish lo akshu vehi shahayse yodas badabar. People were so gripped with fear that ultimately, again, she said, they're not even in need of my services. Umina yada. So we'll say, how does Rachav know what the general feeling of the male population is? To which the Gemara says, there wasn't one sar, one officer, or one nobleman who did not have relations with Rachav the Zona. In other words, she was such a well-known Zona that she had she knew the pulse of the male community. To which the Gemara says, Amr, so it's Amru Bas Yud Shanim Haiseki Shiyatsi Shom Mitzrayim Vizansa. So it's actually a very, very sad Gemara. She was 10 years old when Klal Yisrael had left Egypt, and she was already in a life of prostitution at that point in time. It's actually it's a tragic statement. She was 10 years old, and she was already in a life of prostitution. Vizansa Komem Shana Shah Yusama Midbar. And she was a Zona all 40 years when Klal Yisrael was in the desert. What happens? I will say, this is amazing. So Acharnun Shana, at the age of 50, she goes there and she gives up this career. Nisgaira, she converts. And she says, Amra, this is actually so beautiful. Yehei mocholi bischarchevel cholon upishtim. And she says, again, ultimately, again, I should gain forgiveness in the schar of the rope, the window, and the flax. So we'll say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Third line down from the top in Rashi. It's actually quite beautiful. Amra yimachali b'shul chevel apishtim v'chalon. B'mechil t'tanya, hachi. Amra ribon sh'olam b'gimel dvarim chatasi b'gimel yimchol. Rachav said, ribon sh'olam, with three things I've sinned throughout my life, and with three things I seek forgiveness. B'chevel apishtim v'chalon. Sh'ayu minafim olim eleh b'chavalim derach ha'chalon. V'yardim. So we'll say what would happen. So sometimes when men would want to come discreetly to Rachav, so she would have a rope that would dangle down from her window. They would climb up into the window, and I guess when they didn't want to be discovered, she would hide them in the flax. So that was the rope, the window, and the flax. When the miraculum came, when Yoshua sent the miraculum back to Eretz Yisrael, so we'll say, so what happened? The king of Yericho came looking for them, and once again, she let them go out through the window, through the rope, and hid them in the flax. So Rachav Azona says, such a beautifully moving Gemara. Boshem, I sinned all of these years with the window, the rope, and the flax. Let these items be my kapara as well. Incredible Gemara. Amar Mar, va'obdiko chavim bizman hazeh rishon la'asos kein. So let's remember again. So now, the Gemara quotes the Braisa going on, which is the Braisa said that although now that once we had a Mishkan later on a Beis HaMikdash, we can't offer up on Bamos anymore, certainly at least now. So again, obdiko chavim could still offer up on Bamos. In other words, they both said the presence of a Beis HaMikdash, or the presence of a Mishkan in a more permanent setting, does not preclude Ovdei Kochavim, Gentiles, from going ahead and offering up on Bamos. So they could offer up on Bamos even to this very day. So says the Gemara. Where do we know that from? That Ovdei Kochavim could use Bamos even to this day. Because most of the pasuk says, "Dabra b'nei Yisrael mitzuvin hashkut dechutz v'hena obdei kochav mitzuyin hashkut dechutz." We'll say pretty straightforward limud. The pasuk in by shkut dechutz, by the prohibition to shech karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash, says, "Dabra b'nei Yisrael." It's dafka b'nei Yisrael have this prohibition. B'nei Noach do not have this prohibition. L'vichach kol echad ve'echad bona labama liatzmo u'makriv aleh kol mashi yirtze. Therefore, we'll say, Ben Noach has it easy. What could he do? He wants to bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Set up your bama in your backyard and do whatever you want. Offer, and I've also remember again, post Matan Torah, what could he offer up on that bama? Olos, shlomim, whatever he wants, he could offer up there. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Barach, Amar Basi, Asr l'sayim v'lasso shichus. I'll say, but there is one other important idea over here. It is Asr for Yisrael to aid and to assist an akum in the building or in the offering of his karbanos. So, Kirashi, Asr l'sayon, b'shas isra abamas, kigon b'zman hazeh, t'kidushas shayim, ina chare heter. So, as I said, the halach is that as much as a ben noach is permitted to go and offer up on Obama today, a Yisrael should not be involved in that process. Right? The Yisrael should not assist at all in that process. So the Gemara says, so also the Sanya, you can't help, nor can you do it on their behalf. So in other words, I can't be the shaliach of the Akum to build his bama or to offer up the carbon on his behalf. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, ularin hu shari. However, again, I will say, but to instruct them verbally, in other words, to teach them the halachos about bamas, to teach them about karbanos, that you are permitted to do. So the Gemara says, Ki had the Ifra Hormiz, Ima de Shavar Malkos. So we'll say, because one time the Gemara tells the story. Ifra Hormiz, who was the mother of King Shapur. She was the mother of King Shapur. He was one of the Persian kings. So Shadra Korban al Rava. Ultimately, again, she sent her karban before Rava. Shol Cholei, Asku Nehela L'Shem Shamayim. And ultimately, again, he instructed her how to go ahead and what? How to go ahead and offer it up L'Shem Shamayim. So in other words, we'll say, so the idea is that Ifra Hormuz is sending this karban before Rava, and Rava's teaching her. Rava's not helping her. Rava's not actively assisting her, but Rava's showing her, not showing her, teaching her ultimately again how to properly offer it. Amulu Rav Safra, Ulrav Achabrahuna. So we'll say, what were the instructions that Rava gave for the karban of Ifra Hormuz? So he says to Rav Safra and to Rav Achabrahuna, Zila V'dabru Trei Olmi Goloi. Go ahead and get two young men of the same age. Look at Rashi. Dabru Trei Olmi Giloi, L'chul Kichushne Ovdei Kocham Bochrim, B'nei Gil Echot Shekein Noel Davos. Well, this is actually very interesting. So Rava says, listen, the karban is going to require two people. Get two guys, two Bachrim, right? Two B'nei Noach Bachrim, same age. You know, so we'll say the ideal we're going to see is he's looking for karbanic symmetry. Right? So the ideal here is make it look nice by going ahead. You have one short guy, one tall guy, one thin guy, one large guy. So that's not, make it look symmetrical. Get two Bachrim the same age to help with this karban. Next. And go ahead and see where the sea brings forth the sediment. In other words, look for a sediment deposit. Wherever you find a sediment deposit, that's we're going to use that as the mizbeach itself. Rashi says over here, the maska yama sirton, limon balazim v'spayish v'nasa karko. The bo'inish lo nishtamish hayo b'mzech. So also the idea of the Rav is saying over here is you need a mizbech which wasn't used for any kind of mundane use. If you have a sediment deposit that was never used for anything and it's a perfect natural altar. Next, v'shaklut tzivi charati, get new wood. In other words, we'll say new wood, meaning that the wood wasn't used for anything else. In other words, that we don't want. In other words, we'll say, Rabbi's saying, don't get old utensils that you're going to make into firewood. Get brand new wood to be used for the mizbeach. Vafiku nukro mimara charato, and bring forth fire from a brand new piece of metal. So they're starting the fire by scraping the metal against something. So bring a brand new piece of metal. We'll say the idea that Rav is saying over here is that even for a Ben Noah, for his carbonic service, don't use stuff which was used for other purposes. Don't repurpose it now for carbonic use, but rather get everything new. New mizbeach, new wood, new metal. And offer up your carbon for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar Abaye says, Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? We'll say, whose opinion does Rabba's Eitz reflect? Kabbalazar and Shemua, we'll say first wide line. The same Kabbalazar and Shemua Omer, Ma Mizbeach Shal Yishtamish Bo Hayot. So we'll say, just like a Mizbeach, should be something that ultimately, again, was not used for mundane use. In other words, a mazbeach must be something, Rabbi Osai, that is dafka used exclusively for sacrificial use, should not be repurposed from something that was mundane. So we'll say, so too, again, the wood used on the mazbeach should also be the type of wood that was not used for mundane purposes. I v'ha mold Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua b'bama, but Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua agrees ultimately again with Abama. V'sanya kasuv echad omer, we'll say, well, listen to this. One pasuk, we'll say, by David HaMelech. One pasuk says, v'yitin David la'arnon, so the Gemara quotes over here, v'yitin David la'arnon, b'makom shikle zav, mishkal sheish meos. So we'll say, listen to this. This is when David HaMelech is purchasing the future site of the Beis HaMikdash from Aravna Hayevusi. So we'll say, just to understand something, when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the one area they did not conquer was Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was under the control of the Yevusi. David HaMelech is the first one to conquer Yerushalayim from the Yevusi. So amazingly enough, on the site of what would become the Har HaBayis, there's a guy who has like a farm, and he has a threshing floor there. His name was Aravna. Nice man, Aravna. David HaMelech wants to purchase the property, which is the Har HaBayis, wants to purchase the property from Aravna. So what does he do? He gives him shikle zav mishkal sheish meos. He gives him 600 golden shekel. Oksev, yet the pasuk also says, Vayikan David esagor mesabakar bekesa shkalim chamishim. Then it also says that what? David HaMelech purchased the bakar and the threshing floor for 50 shekels. So we'll say, so which one is it? Was it 600 shekel or 50 shekel? Okay, so the Gemara says, well, how do you reconcile this? Listen to this. Gava mikol shevet v'shevet chamishim shim shish. So we'll listen to this. David HaMelech, this is actually amazing, bought the property of Aravna Hayevusi with a collection of 50 shekel per shevet. So 50 shekel per shevet, we'll say, equals what? Equals 600 shekel. David HaMelech recognized that he was purchasing the future site of the Beis HaMikdash. He did not want to purchase it with one person's money, because he recognized the Makom HaMikdash has to belong to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, again, he collects 50 shekel from every single shevet, 50 shekel from each, total of 600, ultimately given to Aravna Hayevusi to purchase the Makom HaMikdash. Rabbi Omer Mishum Abi Yossi Ben Dostoy, Bakar Ve'etzim Makom Mizbeach Benun, V'chol HaBayis Kulu B'sheish Meos. Others say, I know it was the sheep, it was the cattle and the wood and the earthen mizbeach for 50 shekel, and the rest of the property was 600 shekel. Rav Elazar ben Shmuel Omer Bakar Ve'etzim Makom Mizbeach Benun. Rav Elazar ben Shmuel says that it was the Bakar, the Etzim Makom Mizbeach for 50. V'chol HaBayis Kulu B'sheish Meos. Where did he get that from? The Chsiv Vayomer Aravne El David Yikach V'Yal Adoni HaMelech HaTov Be'inov Re'a Bakar Li'ola V'Hamorigim Uklei Bakar Li'etzim. So we'll say, so first of all, interesting what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, what does Aravna Hayevusi say? He says to David, listen, this sale, all in, I'm giving you everything. You could use the bakar for olos, and the morigim, which we'll discuss what that is in just a moment, the morigim and the klei bakar. We'll say klei bakar pashas means like the farming utensils, right? Le'itzim, you could use for firewood. Then we'll say, now firewood for what? Firewood for the altar. Yet again, what did we just get finished saying? We just got finished saying that for firewood, for an altar, for Bnei Noach, it should be something new, right? Charati, new wood. Yet here, Aravna is saying to David, just use this old stuff for firewood. The Gemara says, no. Hasam nami becharati. We'll say these were brand new utensils, which in fact were never actually used for any type of farming pursuits. Therefore, were new, and therefore were fit for sacrificial wood as well. My morigim, by the way, what are these morigim? Right? Aravna says, I'm throwing in the morigim also. Right? Deal of the century. What are morigim? Amra'ula, mita shel turbil. It is a mita shel turbil. Very helpful. My mita shel turbil. Someone says, okay, thank you. What's a mita shel turbil? Amra'abaye, iza de karkasa de daishin di shai. We'll say literally again, it is a utensil that is in the shape of a goat, which has teeth, which you use to thresh straw. Okay? So I'm sure there's a shorter name for it than that, right? But it is the utensil that is in the shape of a goat that ultimately has teeth and used to thresh straw. Amar Abayi Maikra, we'll say, so what's the pasuk? So the Gemara quotes over here the pasuk from Yeshaya. Hine samtich lemoreg charutz chadosh. Baal pipios. So the Gemara says, Mikri le Rava lebre, Varami le kra ahadadi. So I'll say, Rava called over his son, and he contrasted two psukim. What are the psukim? Vayitim David le Arnon, uksiv vayikon. So I'll say, ultimately, again, it says that David gave to Arnon. Again, I will say, and then it says that he purchased. One pasuk says it was 50. One pasuk says it was 600. So which one was it? So we'll say, did David HaMelech purchase the property for 50 shekel or for 600 shekel? So the Gemara says, Ketzad, the Gemara says, Govem mikol shevet v'shevet chamishim shein sheish meos. Ultimately, again, he collected from each of the shatan 50 shekel for a total of 600 shekel. Kati kashin adadir. We'll say, we still have another problem. So I understand now, we just reconciled the amounts. We have another problem, which is what? Hasam kesef hachazav. We'll say one pasuk says it was silver shekelim, one pasuk says it was gold. How do you reconcile that? Elahalchi kamer, this is what it means to say, gove keset b'mishkal sheish meozar. We'll say they collected so much silver that it was the equivalent, ultimately, again, of the weight, or of the value, of 600 gold pieces. So it was actually collected in silver, but it was so much silver that it was the value of 600 gold pieces. Good. Kachim kalim ne'achalim. So we'll remember again. So the Mishnah said, back a little bit now to the Mishnah just for a few moments. So the Mishnah said that kachim kalim could be eaten b'chol machane Yisrael. Any place in Machane Yisrael. So Rav Huna, b'chol makomos Yisrael. Aval machane lohavi, to which Rav Huna says that you could eat kachim kalim rabosei in any place. If you look at the first wide line of Rashi on the bottom, b'chol makomos Yisrael, anywhere where Yisrael is, kasak leit hashto dafilu yotze achamei and chutz l'machane Yisrael, ochol kachim kalim sham. So also, Rav Huna seems to be saying that you could literally eat kachim kalim wherever you are. Wherever you eat kachim kalim. But ultimately, again, there was no real semblance of the camp. What are you talking about? Are you trying to say that there was no concept of a machane in the midbar? It's simply not true. Tanya, we learned. Was the same way that machanos existed in the midbar. There were camps in Yerushalayim. What were the camps in Yerushalayim? Here we go. Yerushalayim Harabayis, Machane Yisrael. We'll say from Yerushalayim to Harabayis, that was considered to be Machane Yisrael. Me Harabayis l'Shar Nikanor, from Harabayis, we'll say from the beginning of Harabayis to Shar Nikanor, which is one of the gates entering into the Beis HaMikdash, that's called Machane Leviya. Mikan Ve'elech, we'll say from Shar Nikanor in, that's Machane Shechina. Ve'hein hein kelayim shel midbar. We'll say these resemble the curtains of the midbar. So you see from here that's what? There was definitely the semblance of a camp in the desert as well. Ela'ima, rather what it means is as follows. Bechomako machane Yisrael. Rather, I will say, what does it mean? If you look at the third line up from the bottom in Rashi. Ema bechomakomos machane Yisrael. Sha'afilu b'shas siluk masos ein nifsalen ela molichon ima mokom machane yasan ochlem machane. We'll say, rather, what does it mean? What it means is that halacha lemaisa, even when Klal Yisrael was in the desert and we broke camp and we traveled, so still the outside was still considered the Machane Yisrael. Kadshim Kalim could still be eaten, and it wasn't, when they broke camp, it wasn't like the Kadshim Kalim had left the camp and then had become us. In other words, what the Gemara is trying to teach us actually is an incredible novelty, is that even when we traveled, the Machane was considered to be intact. We'll say, just to understand the incredible importance of that, if every single time we traveled, it was considered as if the machanos broke down, that would mean that any sacrificial item that was left over would be pasul, because it would be considered to be yotze, would be considered to have left the camp. The novelty of the Gemara is that even when we traveled, ultimately, again, the machanos remained intact, and therefore sacrificial items were still permitted. So Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. It's not so obvious. Ma'o de tema, if so be yotze. I'm at a first rabbi said that once the camps traveled, ultimately, again, there should be a psul of yotze, kamash malon. Ultimately, again, therefore, the Torah teaches us that even when they traveled, the machanos were still considered to be intact. Ve'imahachinami. So, well, one second. It's actually a good point. Why don't we say that when the Klal Yisrael traveled, the machanos, so to speak, were taken down? Any sacrificial item, therefore, that was left over should be possible because it's yotzei. To which the Gemara says, Amakra, Vinasa Oamoid. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says ultimately that what the Oamoid would travel. Afa pishenasa Oamoidu. Even when we were traveling, the identity of the Oamoid remained intact. And if the identity of the Oamoid remained intact, then what? The surrounding camps did as well. So that even when we traveled, the identity of the Machana was left intact. And if the identity of the Machana is left intact, it means ultimately any sacrificial items that were there did not become possible through Yotzei. All right, we'll have to stop over here for today. Shkoyach.